Jack Posobiec in for Charlie Kirk. We bring on Jason Rantz of the Jason Rantz Show. We play the 911 calls live in the swatting attempt of Marjorie Taylor Greene, and Jason breaks down his investigative reporting on the false study that was put forward by the University of Washington on transgender gender-affirming procedures. Then we have Drew Hernandez responding to the 911 calls, the swatting attempt on Marjorie Taylor Greene. Then Libby Emmons of the Post-Millennial breaking down how she got these calls forward. You do need to listen to this.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Brought to you by Andrew and Todd at Sierra Pacific Mortgage. For personalized loan services you can count on, go to andrewandtodd.com, the wonderful andrewandtodd.com.
We do have breaking news. I'm going to be pushing this here. Has not yet been reported, but I just got the message across the wire that the MTG swatting. So we had her on yesterday for her first interview after she was swatted. She told us the harrowing tale, the fact that the police showed up with a tactical response, and the fact that the caller who took credit for the calls, took credit for the swatting attempt, called it a swatting attempt, stated using computer-generated voice that they were doing so because of her stance on trans children, her attempt to ban trans procedures for people under 18, for children under 18, minors. And that was the reason they were targeting her like this. She was swatted again last night. The breaking news that we have is that not only, obviously, that she's trying to ban the mutilation of minors and children in this country, we've got the 911 calls. So the Post-Millennial is about to drop a major scoop. And Libby, I'm just going to tell them straight up, there's a dozen calls. The Post-Millennial has received a dozen phone calls from this 9/11 saga, the swatting of Marjorie Taylor Greene. We've got the calls going up at thepostmillennial.com. The story is being read. We're going to try, by the way, we're working with them. Of course, they're reviewing all of this. We're looking at it right now. We want to be able to get one of the clips up. We're going to work, producer Andrew and everybody else, will try to work very hard to get one of those clips up to play as soon as possible. But we do have, by the way, Jason Rantz, the great Jason Rantz, joining us today, radio host, journalist, investigative journalist. And he's been doing a study working on a study very much along these lines and going after the study from the University of Washington over there in Seattle that basically lied about the efficacy of trans procedures, lied about what was going on at these hospitals, stated that they had the data that said they knew that this was not helping children with depression, and that they buried that. They changed the headline of their own study. And Jason Rantz, who is the host of the Jason Rantz Show, KTTH over there in Seattle, has all the receipts. Jason, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
So first, before I get into that, you know, we have this major breaking story. We've got everything that's going on. Marjorie Taylor Greene, can I just get your comment on that? The fact that we've now gotten to the point where they're trying to essentially swat a sitting member of Congress to potentially have them murdered, assassinated, have all sorts of harm come to them because she is trying to ban the very procedures that you've been investigating.
Yeah, I mean, swatting in a general sense is obviously incredibly dangerous. It puts the people's lives at risk when officers are being sent to any home, whether it's specifically the allegations in this particular case or anywhere else. You've got officers who are on guard. They can't assume that it's a swatting call, so they have to assume that there's potentially a threat there. And that, of course, brings up the tension even higher. If this happened to a Democrat, this would be a leading story absolutely everywhere. And it would be about the white supremacists and the MAGA terrorists who are behind this. But because it's happening to Marjorie Taylor Greene, they're kind of giving it a pass. And of course, we know how the media generally operates in this world. And I would think that regardless as to how any individual feels about any member of Congress, we should be condemning this and we should be investigating this. If this happened to AOC, every single conservative should call it out.
Look, and Jason, so here's the thing, right? Obviously, we'd call it out if this happened to AOC or Kavanaugh or anybody else.
Yep.
Ruth Bader Ginsburg, right, when she was still with us. So you're going a step further because, of course, this person is saying that they're upset because she wants to ban the mutilation of minors, that she wants to ban these procedures. I think we're getting one of the clips here pretty soon. Guys, let's work on that. But while we discuss this, Jason, you've gone into the data and you found that these universities, these studies, they're actually lying about their own data. What did you find?
Yeah, so there's two separate stories here, I think. Number one, we have this UW Medicine study that was put out by a number of researchers that initially claimed, according to the press materials, that gender-affirming care, when used among the course of a year, about 100-plus transgender teenage patients, that their rates of depression plummeted. The data doesn't actually back that up, but when you read the study, as Jesse Singel did, and he did an amazing job, he's an independent journalist, pretty sure he leans pretty far to the left, he pointed out that the raw data wasn't available, it wasn't being presented, that there were a lot of questions as to the veracity of at least the interpretation of the data that was given. Very clearly, it's overstated to say that gender-affirming care in this study led to a plummeting rate of depression amongst the teenagers because it was about 1-3%. That is statistically insignificant. And I think most honest people will point that out. The separate story is this was also misinterpreted by the UW Medicine communications team. I actually don't think they intentionally misinterpreted it. I think that the data itself was misleading and they went with it. But here's the rub. A month after they put out that press release about the study that got a ton of really positive, glowing coverage, they realized that, oh no, we're actually not being quite accurate. So they ended up making some edits, even though internally, according to the emails that I was able to obtain, they were debating whether or not they were going to put any clarification out there at all because they feared that it could bring attention to it. And they were sort of resting on the fact that they got a whole bunch of positive coverage. So that's what the emails show. The problem is, once they realized what was wrong, and once they made those corrections a month later, they never corrected the record proactively, meaning they never went to the media outlets to say, hey, FYI, we've made these edits. Now, they told me, they confirmed that they never reached out to any of those outlets, and they said that they didn't think it was a story at the time and that it might not have changed or would not have changed any of the positive coverage. That might be the case. In fact, I tend to agree with them on that point because I think this was agenda-driven from the beginning. The press release that originally went out and the way that the framing of the data was in response to some of these gender identity bills. In this case, they specifically called out Texas and Idaho. Their intent was, number one, to promote and legitimize gender-affirming care. And number two was to push back against the policies that were being debated. And that's why this story, I think, is so important, is that you've got a study that is at bare minimum shows that there was no damage done, but certainly doesn't show that there was plummeting depression rates. You're basically getting in front of the public debate and you're trying to influence policy as well as the decisions of families.
But it's not just that no damage was done. It's that you have people who came in, they came to see their psychotherapist. They said that they felt depression. They were diagnosed with depression. They were given these certainly egregious, experimental, drastic, in some cases, surgeries or procedures. And the idea, obviously, if they want to keep the gravy train running on all of this, is that they want to be able to show that the data is working, the procedures are working. They have a financial incentive to continue this, to go forward. They didn't find any data that this shifted this condition of depression for the children involved in this.
Yeah, the mental health outcomes. Yeah. I mean, at the end of this, they didn't find any of the evidence that they claimed to. And in this case, just to be clear, it was gender-affirming care in the sense of puberty blockers and hormone replacement. But, okay. At the end of the day, there were a bunch of people who even dropped out of this particular study, but we don't know why. Now, it's possible that once we get access to all of the information, it could shed a somewhat different light on the subjects, right? We can get more context. But the fact that they're not putting it out there, I think, is incredibly suspicious, to say the least. But I think you're right. I do think that there are a lot of either institutions or individual doctors who have made the decision to kind of push aside any of the actual data that they have because they want a certain outcome. And I think they've justified it to themselves. And I'm not talking specifically about these folks, but just in a general sense, I think they've justified it to themselves, saying that I truly believe that this kind of healthcare, this kind of service for the transgender community will lead to better outcomes. I just know it in my soul, and they have the best of intentions. I think that's how they justify it. It doesn't make it right. It doesn't make it moral. It doesn't make it ethical, because at the end of the day, if the data is what the data is, and it does not show significant improvement the way that they have claimed, all that they're doing for some transgender kid who is confused about his or her identity, having severe depression, then thinking, oh, if I do gender affirming care, that depression is pretty much going to go away. I'm going to see instances of my depressive episodes plummet. You are hurting that kid once they realize that you set them up for failure. And I think that that's the real world implications when we decide to, at best, misinterpret the data, at worst, just lie about it.
Well, and I think that's right, because, of course, as a country, we're grappling with this. Policymakers are trying to make sense of it. Activists are trying to figure out, do we want more of this? Do we want less of this? Personally, I'm in the camp where when it comes to my children, I'm gonna raise them with the gender that they were born with, the biological.
Very controversial, Jack. Oh no.
Yeah, I know. I mean, it's crazy. Because by the way, I know it's very bigoted of me to say this, but when we go to the toy store, right, and he sees everybody knows there's a boy's aisle and there's a girl's aisle. And he knows that aisle with all the pink ain't for him. And I've never told him, hey, you're not allowed to go down that aisle or something like that. He knows. He takes one look at it and he moves right over to the Tonka trucks, to the little green soldiers. He gets it. That's a normal thing. It's biological. It's traditional. It's spiritual. It's God-derived, et cetera. This has nothing to do with society forcing it on people. This is exactly what it is. And by the way, producer Andrew says I'm a bigot here in the chat. That's okay, producer Andrew. I save all of your phone calls. So believe me, I can be droppable to you and talk bigotry. But So I do have an update, Jason. We've got, and I see we only have about a minute and a half left here in the segment, that we do have the first 911 tape from Marjorie Taylor Greene. The producers have been working through this. We're going to play this thing in its entirety. We're not going to cut it. We're not going to edit it. And then I'm not going to listen to it in the break. And I want to get your live reaction to it. Can we do that?
Let's do it.
I don't think this has been played anywhere yet. The full archives will be available on Post Millennial. We've got Jason Rantz up here. He's talking about his story, going through the fact that people are being lied to. People are being misled by these studies. And now we're seeing that it's having real world consequences, because it's driving these extremists to take this action that could have, let's just say it, we could have seen a situation that led to the death of a sitting United States congresswoman. We need to be very serious about what time it is. The one thing that we have to scrub for, of course, is the fact that Marjorie Taylor Greene's address is potentially on this, on this audio. And we obviously don't want to put out her address and dox her and cause even more problems that are on, that come from this audio. So I've asked the guys to hold on, pump the brakes 1 second, just make sure the address is not anywhere in this audio, because we don't want to do anything that puts Marjorie Taylor Greene, the congresswoman, or any congresswoman or congressman or anyone, right, in any kind of danger. Because obviously they're going to be saying the address at some point. That's the entire point of swatting. And the problem that we've seen, and this happened to Steve Bannon, this happened to Tim Pool, now it's happening two nights in a row to Marjorie Taylor Greene. Now, fortunately, I was able to talk to her a little bit. She was on War Room this morning. She discussed this. She said the police are understanding of what the situation is. They understand what's going on. But I said, guys, out of an abundance of caution, just pump the brakes a little bit. I'm very excited to hear this. I think we need to hear this as a country, right? And when I say excited, I mean, I'm excited that we can expose these lies. I'm excited that we can expose what these people are doing, and that we can be the ones who actually hold them accountable, because this is a harrowing story from this first swatting. Absolutely harrowing. They said that she shot her husband 5 times in the bathtub and that she was armed. She told us here on this program yesterday that normally if she gets woken up in the middle of the night, She was going to bring her gun. She almost did bring her gun to the door. Imagine what would have happened. And I don't even think I need to say it. What would have happened if Marjorie Taylor Greene had brought her gun with her, had had it in her hand when she opened that door with the officers right there? But she said that something came over her and she put the gun down before she opened that door. For me, that's providence. That's providence right there. All right, guys, here we go. Ladies and gentlemen, we are going to now play, it's clip 82, the 911 call that was made in the swatting attempt of Marjorie Taylor Greene.
Floyd County 911, what's the location of your emergency?
Lisa Health Emergency Call Relay Center, transferring an emergency call to you. There will be a call agent on the line giving you information on an emergency call in your area. Call agent, please go ahead.
Yes, I'm here.
Hey. What's the location of your emergency?
I'm sorry. So I work for Lifeline, and I have a chatter. This may be a swatter situation. Who's saying that they basically came out to their family about being transgender. It ended up him shooting his family at the home.
Okay.
And
the address?
I'm sorry?
What's the address?
Rome, Georgia.
Okay, can you just repeat the address for verification?
I'm sorry?
Can you repeat the address for verification?
Okay, is everything okay? I'm sorry if you couldn't hear me.
No, I can hear you. Okay.
Rome, Georgia. And that's...
And you said somebody possibly shot somebody?
That's what the chatter is telling me. I work for Suicide Lifeline. Said he shot his family members and he's going to shoot himself as well. It may possibly be a slaughter. We're not 100% sure. But he's saying that he wants help for his family.
What we heard was someone had called a suicide hotline. That suicide hotline was then notifying police, just to give the context to everybody, that somebody was claiming that family members had been shot. There was an active shooter, and it was over this transgender issue. Jason, can I get your immediate response to this? What does this say?
Yeah, I mean, obviously it's concerning, and obviously this is assuming that it is what it appears to be, an activist who's going after MTG. I mean, this is an escalation in tactics against political adversaries. And I think that is incredibly dangerous. We've heard a lot over the course of the last few years from the left about dangerous rhetoric, and you have to make sure that your words are okay because words are violence. And yet again, I don't really hear a massive amount of condemnation in this particular case, nor do I see it getting as much coverage as, again, I think it would generate if this was Nancy Pelosi or AOC on the other side. What folks have to understand about swatting is not just the initial reaction. And the good news is it appeared that the officers in this, according to reports, knew the address belonged to the congresswoman. They still had to approach it in a tactical way, as they said, but they're aware that this address could potentially be the victim of swatting. Here's the issue. It's possible at some point, God forbid, that there is a legitimate 911 call made from this address or any address that gets swatted. And you have to make sure that officers don't approach it thinking or assuming that it's going to be a swatting call. They're trained very well in this regard, but that's always a concern that a lot of people have. And frankly, that's a concern that law enforcement puts out there as well as to why they push back against anyone who's dumb enough and reckless enough to go ahead and engage in this kind of move. So hopefully we find out who it is.
Jason, thank you so much for your investigative work with us. Thank you for riding with us on that little roller coaster right there. And I appreciate everything you had to say. Tell people where they can go to find you and gain access to your work.
You can find me at Jason Rantz on Twitter and Instagram, and just search Jason Rantz Show wherever it is you get your podcasts.
Right now, Bank of America has just lowered its 2022 forecast for the S&P 500 by a whopping 900 points to 3,600. Saying we're headed for a recession this year, it said the new year target is the lowest on the street. This is not good news for those of you stuck in equities or anything tied to stock markets. I know thousands of people who have put their trust in Noble Gold to prevent losing money in the financial storm that is brewing. You can join them by calling their expert team. Noble Gold has recently voted the number one gold company in the country by Consumer Affairs. No call centers, no scripted response, no bull, just a straight, honest run through options so you can decide. And by the way, they're giving away a beautiful 1/10 ounce gold American Eagle coin with every qualifying IRA or 401k rollover this month. You can't go wrong with Noble Gold. Call the team now at 877-646-5347 to find out more or visit noblegoldinvestments.com. That is noblegoldinvestments.com.
We just played, of course, the first time anyone's heard this, the 911 call that was made in a swatting attempt, Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene. Well, there's going to be more of these coming out at the post-millennial. And by the way, we are working on getting Libby Emmons on, but we do have Drew Hernandez, the host of Frontlines over at TPUSA. He also comes on right after as part of the War Room Night Watch block with myself, Human Events Daily. Drew, did you get a chance to hear that audio that we played just before?
Yeah, and what's interesting about this is, I mean, you see this and you hear this, and it's really no surprise. I mean, these are the same people that advocate for rioting, looting, committing arson in the name of social justice. And I mean, all of 2020, 2016 and on, they were calling for people to take to the streets. I mean, AOC, after the Roe v. Wade overturn, is calling for people to take to the streets and that the court is not legitimate. These people have a history, okay? These people have a huge history of advocating and using violence against their political opponents. So it's no surprise to me that the same people that cry wolf all the time that, oh, there's a risk to our reality, there's a risk to our existence here because the right-wingers are out there, the fascists are out there to kill us and get us. It's the same projecting. It's the same gaslighting. They literally do what they claim the other side is doing. And now they're taking it to the point. We all know this, Jack. What does swatting mean? It's getting people killed. Okay, so now they're using this. I mean, it's nothing new. They're mobilizing law enforcement, mobilizing these things to get people killed, period.
Drew, you know what? The producer telling me that we actually have a shortened version of this. I want to play it again so I can get your direct response to it. Guys, play clip 81.
I'm sorry. So I work for Lifeline, and I have a chatter. This may be a swatter situation, who's saying that they basically came out to their family about being transgender. It ended up him shooting his family at the home. That's what the chatter is telling me. I work for Suicide Lifeline. Said he shot his family members, and he's going to shoot himself as well.
Drew, I mean, when you're hearing that type of language, when they're saying this person has shot family members, what are they trying to do there? What are they trying to get the police to do?
They're trying to make the individual that they have these accusations against look like a violent threat. They want the police to be on alert. They want the police to go in there, guns blazing, in there, ready to shoot somebody and to kill somebody, because they know that this is what swatting leads to. And for people to think like, oh, it's just a troll, it's just a joke. No, it's not. I mean, Tim Pool is no stranger to this, obviously, and you know that, Jack. But they are weaponizing this to go after political opponents for obvious reasons. And to me, this is seriously dangerous. And I think you know this as well, Jack. If this was happening vice versa, if Trump supporters or right-wingers were doing this to AOC, doing this to Nancy Pelosi, there would be burnt down buildings right now.
Because we are told that this was a trans activist. They identify themselves as a trans activist, and they were opposed to Marjorie Taylor Greene putting forward a bill that would stop the mutilation of children. Drew, what's going on here?
Hey, Jack, I'll say this. This is kind of like a preview to the red flag laws that these people are pushing towards, right? Because now anyone could just call, hey, this person's doing this. Oh, a trans person's life is in danger. Oh, LGBTQ person is in danger. Oh, this person, like, come on, guys, let's get this clear. They're weaponizing everything. The three-letter agencies, so-called laws. This is a preview to where these people want to take us. And I guarantee you, this is exactly how these red flag laws will work as well. It's the same rhetoric. It's the same heart, the same intent to mobilize something to go after political opponents. That's my take.
I think you're exactly right in the fact that we're seeing now Marjorie Taylor Greene steps up, and The Hill has the article. Marjorie Taylor Greene introduced a bill just last week to make, quote, gender-affirming care for transgender youth a felony. Drew, why is this something that's obviously anti-minor mutilation? Why is this something that has now driven these people to try these tactics of violence? Why is this group so empowered right now?
These people are void of morality. You have a conversation with any of these people, they have no moral code. It's out the window. It's gone. They're reprobate. They're depraved. They have no idea of left from right. And I'm not talking politically. Okay. They have no idea of wrong or right. Anything goes with these people. It's always the same thing. My truth is my truth, and I could speak my truth, and whatever I believe is true. They literally live like that. They live outside of reality. They cultivate their own fantasies in reality. That's why some of them literally are coming out and having pronouns identifying as God all over TikTok. So it's no surprise to me that these people are open to murder as well. These are the same people that not only advocate for the slaughtering of babies, but praise it, literally hail it, make little ritualistic places of worship to worship Molech and the slaughtering of babies. The point I'm trying to make, Jack, is these people are gone. They're gone. That is why they are willing to set something up to murder a political opponent.
Yeah, Drew, and so one thing that we announced this earlier on the show when Steve Bannon was here, you're going to be speaking at this as well. We have this Great Reset conference that's coming up, Phoenix, Arizona, reset.tpusa.com. You're going to be speaking there. Drew, does this tie into the Great Reset, do you believe? Is this part of this greater anti-human agenda that we're seeing that's being pushed by the likes of Klaus Schwab and his acolytes?
Well, absolutely. I mean, really think about it, Jack. Let's take a look at the bigger picture. How did we go from 2020 to fund the police? We hate all law enforcement. Let's get rid of them. How did we go from that to 2021, where all of a sudden J6 happens and we love the FBI? We love all the three-letter agencies because they're going after our political opponents. Even Joe Biden came out and said, let's actually refund the police. This is all an agenda to get you to accept and to beg Big Brother to be your protector while they're telling you, you don't need any guns. Get rid of the 2A. Just trust us. You don't need self-protection. You need us. Get rid of law enforcement. No, no, no. We're going to put in our own version, our own regime, our own police state. We're going to install what we want, what we think is necessary to protect you while we disarm every single one of you. And we take out all of your freedom-loving patriot political figures, populists and politicians, while at the same time, because they want a new regime.
And we're going to have Robert from Trafalgar on tomorrow about this. But we understand what they're doing because Al Sharpton actually once said the quiet part out loud. This was years ago, but he said it once. They want to get rid of local police forces. Look what they're doing to the frontline responders right now in this country. There's a reason. They want to get rid of local institutions because they want to replace them with national institutions.
While arming 87,000 IRS agents to storm your house while they disarm you and tell you guns are bad. It all comes together, Jack. It all comes together.
Precisely. So they've wanted a nationalized police force forever in this country. Not in the Constitution, by the way. You can go read it all you want. It's not there. But I think we've departed from the Constitution a long time ago. That's why. And when you look, we had Raheem Kassam on. We were talking about how they're trying to really strip the presidency of all of its power and give it to this bloated permanent state. It all kind of comes together, Drew. And tell us, why is it so important that people attend this conference that's coming up, Phoenix, Arizona, the Great Reset Conference that Turning Point USA is putting together? Last 90 seconds.
Two reasons. Number one, freedom. And number two, they want you to believe that you're the minority. That's why they ban everyone on social media. That's why they shadow ban, they throttle everyone. They want you to believe that you are the minority when you're not. The most important thing that we can do as humanity, is to come together. Mm-hmm. Like-minded, patriot, freedom-loving individuals, whatever. Everyone needs to come together and identify what is going against humanity, what is targeting America to destabilize it, to destroy it, and to dismantle it. Those that want to preserve the American future need to band together now. This is why people need to come to these events so they can get around like-minded individuals to have that just brotherhood and the ability to be together and to push forward, because we've been talking about this with Charlie and all the guys. This is the new right. This is the new energy. No more defense. Go on offense. That's where we're at right now in 2022 moving forward.
Drew Hernandez, make sure you watch him tonight. Front Lines. We're part of the War Room night crew, the night watch. We've got Human Events Daily. Then Front Lines comes up. Go to reset.tpusa.com. It's September 16th and 17th, 2-day conference. Charlie, myself, Drew, Stephen K. Bannon, Phoenix, Arizona, the Great Reset Conference. Drew, thank you for your service as always.
Thank you, Jack.
But I want to bring in now Libby Emmons, the editor-in-chief of the Postmillennial. Massive scoop, this audio from the 911 call, the calls that everybody, and it's strange to me, by the way, that it seems that nobody else in the mainstream media is talking about these calls very much. So, of course, it's up to the job of Libby Emmons and the intrepid reporters at the Postmillennial to do the rest of the media's job for them. Thank you, Libby.
Thanks so much. Glad to be here, Jack.
Now, what you mentioned to me over the the highly top secret Q clearance chat group that we have up is that there's more than just one of these calls. How many calls did you receive from in these 9/11 these 9/11 calls, 911 calls?
There were two calls, but there were many files, which I actually thought was interesting from a journalistic perspective, that when you receive 911 calls, there are many files with the call sort of broken up into different aspects of it when the dispatcher is talking to the person who's calling in, et cetera. But there were two main calls that were sent over. One was from the early morning incident on Wednesday, the first swatting attempt on Congresswoman Green. And the second was from early this morning, actually, the second swatting attempt.
Now, do we have, or do you have, I should say, the audio of when they called back taking credit for it? Because we were told that that was a separate call.
I have not, I do not believe I have that, no. I have the calls from the suicide crisis hotline in, and I also have a call from a dispatcher at a chat line who then called 911, and that was the one from this morning. And they did indicate that perhaps it was a swatting call from today. So that was actually sort of interesting. But the previous one from Wednesday morning, there was a lot of concern because the person who called in was speaking about, having a lot of people have been shot and there was blood and people in a bathtub and a whole giant situation. So that was pretty concerning. And you could see how that would be quite a danger for the congresswoman and her family.
But what's interesting to me, though, is that so we have in the initial police report, and I understand that you also, I believe you posted earlier, the second police report as well, mm-hmm. up on the postmillennial.com. Just incredible journalism that's actually going on. Real journalism, by the way, folks, not just like going to Google and looking up or like looking on some of the old tweets, just actually going in and getting the story, picking up the phone and doing things the old school way. But it says in the police report that there was another call taking credit for that. It looks like they're holding on to that one, possibly because of what they're using to trace that call. But tell me, what was it like working with the police? What was it like working with the department?
They were absolutely lovely and very professional and did their jobs. When I called in and asked for the information, they were very forthcoming and made sure that I got it in a timely fashion. They did say that they were not releasing the body cam footage, that was something they were going to be holding on to. So I thought that was interesting as well, and probably is an indication that they're trying to protect the congressman's privacy, which certainly makes sense in this situation when the entire goal is to disrupt her life, that they would hold on to that and not add further fuel to that fire.
That being said, though, I think that's something that, I mean, hopefully we can file a FOIA for, maybe get some redacted version of it where you can't tell exactly which house it is, because I think something like that, where there we have somebody, because the world needs to see this. They're putting a sitting congresswoman at mm-hmm. in danger. Libby, the postmillennial.com is the site. Just tell us in your closing thoughts, what does this mean that politics has gotten to this point?
Well, I think it means that there is a real desire to threaten congresspersons who are standing up for their beliefs and doing what they think is right. And I think that Green has been very vocal that she's not going to be cowed. She's not going to be, forced into a corner to redact what she thinks is important. And I have a lot of respect for that. I also think that if more people just stood up and said their beliefs and said strongly what they believe in and what they stand for, these kinds of things would not be quite as prevalent, because they can't SWAT all of us. It's just not possible. There's not that many police resources in the country. But yeah, I think it's really quite interesting to see that this is what's going on. And I have a lot of respect for Congresswoman Green for standing up for her beliefs no matter what.
God bless you, Libby Evans. God bless the post-millennial. Because if it wasn't for you doing this, I doubt that any of these calls would have been made public. Thank you very much for joining us today and for all
Thanks
of your
so much.
We appreciate you so much for being here, listening to us. Make sure you subscribe to The Charlie Kirk Show.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.